Brother L.O. Sanderson, the author of that song, I remember came and visited the Memphis School of Preaching while I was still a student there, and he told us something about that song, that the song had been written after the passing of his first wife, and some of the circumstances surrounding that and the grief that he was going through at the time led to, at least in part, the writing of that song. And that song often makes us think about the comfort that the Lord is to us and that we need to avail ourselves of because of the great hardships that we often face in life. We have, over the last several days and then some of the weeks prior to this, been going through some very, very cold days. Most of us don't like the cold, but I found that it's interesting that the Lord likes the cold, prefers the cold, and prefers the hot, he says in Revelation 3, beginning at verse 14, as opposed to the lukewarm, right? He likes the hot, he likes the cold, but he doesn't like the lukewarm because the lukewarm represents those who are satisfied where they are, don't realize what they need, they're just kind of stagnant, doing nothing. And he says, this is a serious problem. Of course, this is among all of the churches that are addressed here at the opening of the book of Revelation. This congregation stands out. We're often reminded of the lukewarm Laodiceans because it's easy for this to happen to God's people. For us individually, or even as a congregation, we have to beware of this danger. Therefore, when we read here, beginning in verse 14, and to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things says the Amen, the faithful and true, true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say, I am rich, I have become wealthy, and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. So here in the first part of this address to the church in Laodicea, you can see the Lord speaking to them, and he's fully aware of what's going on with this congregation, with these members, that they are not hot, they're not cold. You know, those who were on fire for the Lord, zealous for the Lord, had every reason to keep doing that, and certainly brought great gladness to the Lord. Even if you were cold and you were far from the Lord, you would have reason to realize there is something serious I need to do because I'm so far from Him. But to be sort of in the middle, as this congregation was, is a dangerous place because it suggests here that it's a place where the perception of the person or people involved is that things are good. I'm okay. I'm safe. There is nothing wrong and there's no need to change anything. And when God is looking at us and there's all kinds of things wrong, but our perception is everything is okay, that's extremely dangerous because we're in a lost condition. We just don't know it. And we're not going to be doing anything about it because we don't see the reality of where we are. That was the church in Laodicea. And the Lord says, in this present situation in which you find yourself, you are repulsive to me. Therefore, he says, I will vomit you out of my mouth. That's not a pleasant picture, but it is a reality that the Lord sees something that in our lives, we so often will overlook. How do we see what God sees so that we cannot overlook and then fall into condemnation as this congregation? Well, of course, the answer is look to His Word. Be close to Him in drawing near to His message and have ears open to His rebuke and also a desire, a longing for His guidance. Lord, lead me, should be our plea, to want to know His will, even if it means there's things in my life I've got to change, there are sins I've got to repent of. That's a humbling experience, but it's necessary. And that's what these brethren desperately needed. They were in a situation where their own perception was what? I am rich, I have become wealthy, and have need of nothing. all is good to their mind. But the reality, as God states it, is they were wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. They couldn't see their terrible condition. Why couldn't they see it? Sometimes we cannot see because we don't want to see. Other times we cannot see because we have not been listening to what God is saying. And therefore we are ignorant of where we are spiritually. Either way, the Lord, what does he say in verse 18? I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, and white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. So the Lord is offering them everything that they truly need. Here is a people who are not wealthy at all. They are spiritually impoverished. The Lord says, you can get from me gold refined in the fire that you may be rich. They could be rich, but they needed to take that which was pure. God's holy word could certainly fit that description to enrich them, to give them the wealth that they needed to guide them. He says, what else? White garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed. This is a very basic understanding. When you're exposed, that's a shameful thing. Adam and Eve realized it miraculously. Other times in the scriptures, it reveals exactly what God considers shameful to be exposed. They were spiritually that way. They had exposed their nakedness. And therefore, he says, you need to get clothed. You need to put on the characteristics, the qualities that will make you as God would have you to be. Peter once said, clothe yourselves with humility. That's something, one aspect of what we need to wear. But many things relating to spiritual garments must be worn. They are white because they're clean. They're white because they're pure. They're given by God. And anoint your eyes with eye salve that you may see. So he's going to give them clarity. He's going to heal their blindness so that their eyes might be open. They might be able to truly assess where they are. And furthermore, see the path upon which they need to walk, that they might be saved. And why is this offered to them? Verse 19, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent. Words of rebuke and chastisement are not easy to hear. We need to hear them nonetheless. We need to hear them from our elders. We need to hear them from God's word, from our teachers, our preachers, our brothers and sisters in Christ. Because God's word is meant to change us when we are in need of that change. And that's always the case when we have drifted, when we are like these brethren were. But God longs for us to be zealous and repent. That is, get fervent for change. Don't resist change, but rather desire change because of where it'll take you, close to God, and make you what you need to be. Behold, he says, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my words or my voice and opens the door, I will come to him, come into him and dine with him, and he with me. Do you see the picture there of what? Fellowship, oneness, joint participation and partaking together of, in this case, as it were, a spiritual meal. The only way you have this with the Lord is when you are in a right relationship with him. Because when you veer from the truth, when you do not abide in the doctrine of Christ, 2 John verse 9, you have not the Father and the Son. Fellowship is broken. But when you are willing to listen, he'll open the door and there will be fellowship once again. To him who overcomes, verse 21, I will grant to sit with me on my throne as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. Jesus died upon that cross, but death did not conquer him. He rose from the dead. He ascended to the heavens, and that's where he is now. What he's promising is we can do the same. Death will not hold us if we are in the arms of the Lord. If we are in a right relationship with him, we will in like manner be able to overcome death, and we will be with the Father one day. So, the final exhortation, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. We are the church. Collectively and individually, we are the church of Christ. And we need to hear the counsel of the Lord. We need to do daily self-examination. regular assessment of where we are spiritually. We need to look at ourselves as a congregation. Are we where we need to be? Do we have blinders on? Are we seeing what we need to see? Is there room for drawing closer to God than we are? And if the case is such that changes need to be made, by all means, let us draw ever closer to Him. Think about your own soul's condition tonight as you reflect upon the words that we've just looked at. The Lord, as you can see in that passage, loves His people, seeks after His people. Everything is about saving souls. And therefore, remember who loves you and gave Himself for you, that He wants you to come to Himself. Through faith, repentance, confession, baptism, we're brought into that family. Continuing faithfully assures us that we'll be with Him one day. And you can make a decision tonight to be brought in the fold, or you can return to that place from which you've wandered as we stand and as we sing.